Okay, it's still July. Isn't that great? We love July. Many of us love July for very special reasons. There are a lot of July birthdays around here. And so our theme for the month is spiritual living through open communication. Of course, for the year, it's value-based living, and that's a great value that we hold, this wonderful idea of spiritual living through open communication. And Centers for Spiritual Living quote for this month is, "We communicate openly with each other in an atmosphere of collaboration and inclusion." And I see this happening every day here. You sometimes work quietly together, sometimes not so quietly together, but it's always in this consciousness of collaboration and inclusion and usually a lot of fun. Sometimes even chocolate is involved. So today, we're speaking about the joy of intelligent communication. And the quote I've chosen from Ernest Holmes is, "As individual intelligence, we communicate with each other. We are able to respond to each other. And in doing so, we establish the fact that intelligence responds to intelligence." This is a wonderful thing. Ernest Holmes got this quote, "The intelligence responding to intelligence," from Judge Thomas Troward, one great influence in Dr. Holmes' life and teaching and philosophy as it developed. Intelligence responding to intelligence. This is a wonderful thing to remember when we're in any kind of a quandary. If we've temporarily misplaced something, to realize that there's an infinite intelligence at work. And it is at work within us. We know that because we were all created out of that one life. And it is infinitely intelligent. Therefore, that intelligence reigns within us. It's at work within our bodies all the time. Ever cut your finger? Ever notice that instantly there's an infinite intelligence that's going to work to heal it? It knows exactly what to do, and it does it. It's only sometimes as we interfere with our homeostasis taking place, which means simply to return to our natural wholeness, is only sometimes as we interfere with it that natural intelligence gets blocked somehow. So as we're realizing that this intelligence is at work within us all the time, keeps our heart beating, keeps the blood flowing, keeps our lungs breathing, even when we're sleeping, isn't that a relief? That's just one less thing to think about before we go to bed at night. We can trust it. It's at work. And so opening ourselves to that intelligence to work in our lives, whether it's finding a lost article or whether it's realizing the next step to take in a project or an intention that we're setting, or whether it's knowing how to bring the highest and the best of ourselves into every communication with other people, it's at work. Intelligence is always responding to intelligence. That can be a very quick and effective affirmation to use if we sometimes feel ourselves in a puzzlement. Intelligence is responding to intelligence. And it reminds us, it settles us down and opens us up. There's nothing like getting settled down and opened up in order to let that intelligence flow through us. So keeping the high watch, as we sometimes refer to, includes connecting with those people who are conscious, caring, and compassionate, and like us, ready to make a difference in our world. Not just wanting to, not just talking about wouldn't it be nice, but actually intending to make a difference in the world. And we can't do it all by ourselves. We don't do anything all by ourselves. We're the instruments. We're the conscious, thinking, caring, compassionate, co-creating people who are allowing spirit to come forth and to create with others. It's wonderful to be in community making wonderful things happen together, isn't it? And so we are conscious enough to want to be, to choose to be, to intend to be with conscious, caring people. And when we do that, we're just co-creating something wonderful. We have new energy flowing. we have new ideas that come to us when we connect with each other. That's just an intelligent thing to do. And then the next great part of that is that we bring that sense of connectivity, intelligent connectivity, out into the world where we may be meeting people who are still a little bit asleep. Have you met anybody who's still asleep? Have you noticed sometimes it's we ourselves who still need to wake up again? So let's not get into that. But it's a wonderful thing to be prayed up, if you would, going out into the world, feeling our oneness, being aware that it is our intention to connect with the deepest and the highest and the finest within each other person, and then to allow ourselves to do what Ernest Holmes suggested when he was asked, what is this philosophy supposed to do for the world? And as you know, he simply drew on a Jungian phrase and said, oh, it's to lift the collective unconscious. And we all have this connection with the collective unconscious, and we're in the process of waking ourselves up so that we can help other people awaken too. It's just the intelligent thing to do. Yesterday, Reverend Mike and Sarah Funk, one of our practitioners, and I went out to Elkins Park to the Center of Peace. We have it's like our sister center. We love the people at the Center of Peace, and they love us, and we go do things together when we can. And so we went out to be a part of the panels that were interviewing the practitioner interns who had completed their training, had passed their written test, and were ready to pass their orals. And so there were four of them from Concordia, Rhode Island, and two from Elkins Park, Center of Peace. And each one of us was on a different panel. And so practitioners and ministers were interviewing these people. And what a joy it is. What a delight it is to connect with people whose consciousness is so bright and shiny, who are so ready, and they tell us why they're choosing to become science of mind practitioners, what drew them to it. And they show us by giving us their prayer treatments. They show us by answering their questions in a very intelligent, powerful, loving way, that they're ready. And we passed all six of them. And it's an awesome thing. It's a beautiful experience to be connecting with people of high consciousness who are taking class after class, opening up their minds and their hearts, and wanting to make a difference, choosing to make a difference in this world. It's a thrilling experience to be with people like this. And you are people like this. We are the ones we've been waiting for. And no matter how many classes we've taken or plan to take, how much training and how much enlightenment we have, all of us are still on that journey. And I've told you about the wonderful nonagenarian in the Palm Desert Center who kept taking classes. Remember, I said, Reverend Kathleen, how come you keep taking all these classes and sitting on the front row and turning in your homework all the time? And recall, she simply replied, I just keep evolutin' right along. We are always evolutin' right along. And sometimes some of the conditions in the world that could make us freak out if we didn't know better are exactly what is needed and wanted for us to have to go deeper, for us to remember this divine presence, this intelligent, loving, wise, wonderful, compassionate, creative, powerful presence that's right where we are. Each one of us is a center of God consciousness. Let's wake up to that. You and I are centers, a point in the consciousness of the divine. Now, how can we ever feel poor or lonely or weak or anything else when we finally step into that realization? You and I, each one, a center of divine consciousness, empowered to co-create a world that works for all. starting with our own, please. We really need to do our own work first. It's like, okay, take the oxygen mask down, put it over your own face. Let's do our own work first in order to be able to be of assistance, positive influence to others. Okay, the bracelet. This is the book. It's called A Complaint-Free World. How many? Oh, you've got yours on. Attaboy. I won't ask you how many days. That's your own business. And as they say in this training, there's no shame in day one. The goal is to make it 21 days without a complaint or gossip. Are you ready for that? It's a great goal. It's a great goal. It makes us conscious. It makes us use our intelligence more intelligently. So here's how it works. If I find myself complaining out loud, it only counts when it comes out of your mouth. What a relief. We stop it before it comes out of the mouth. If there's a complaint or gossip, which we do not do because this is not the kind of community we're building and it's not the kind of world we're building. If we say something we wish we hadn't said along those lines, we don't have to go like that or anything. It's not mean. It's just about being aware. We take the bracelet off and put it on the other wrist. And we get to leave it there and we count the days. And sometimes we go 6 or 7 days and we put it on the other wrist. It's like, oop, no shame in day one. Because the object is to become more mindful, right? And some have made it for 21 days, 24 days, and then they start with day one again. And all it does is wake us up and make us aware that our word is powerful. The word within our own mind is powerful, isn't it? And when we verbalize it, when truth on our tongue comes out, we want it to be truth and not error. Because the erroneous statement creates things we don't want. I mean, it's really a very simple philosophy, isn't it? And truth on our tongue, an intention within us to make something wonderful take place, allow something wonderful to take place in our lives and in the world, will create that. So it helps us be aware of what is the direction our thought is taking and what is coming out of our mouths. Can you imagine, please imagine with me, a complaint-free world? If nobody had anything to argue about, and no one had anything to fight about, and nobody got their feelings hurt, and we spoke loving truth to one another, wouldn't that be wonderful? I read recently about somebody who was visiting, spending a little time actually, in a country in Africa, and had an interpreter because didn't speak whatever that language was. And the interpreter interpreted everything that he said perfectly, except for one day when they were on a bus, and the bus was full of people, and they were going over challenging roads. And it was bumpy and awful, and people were bouncing all around, and the fellow said to the translator, "Nice ride, nice roads, huh?" And the translator said nothing. And he said, "Aren't you going to translate that?" He said, "No." He said, "The people would not understand. They don't understand. They would take it quite literally. They would either think that you were complimenting the road or that you were telling a fib, but they don't get it." Can you imagine a world where people are simply speaking what's so? I rather like that. I like it a lot, actually. So, I love this. I love this. We may even do a class on it one of these days. But if we remove, when we remove, as we remove all forms of gossip, blame, limited thinking, negative talk, we raise the conversation to a powerful, productive union of hearts, minds, and souls. That's my world. Are you ready to move into that world with me?
Yes,
please. I love that. And it starts with us. Each one of us. We have more power to do this than we realize. So when we're creating positive alliances with other people, when we're speaking loving truth, when we're not criticizing, when we're not complaining, when we're not blaming, we're creating something that the world has been waiting for. Your own family has been waiting for it. And you can not wait any longer for them to start. You know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with Susan. She says, okay. Good. Let it begin with me. So when I'm experiencing, when I'm co-creating, when you and I are co-creating these positive alliances, which is the joy, creating the joy of intelligent communication, then we're able to bring the good news. It's good news. And I love reading good news. And we bring it to people then who are ready to be lifted into the higher realms. There was a recent New York Times article. I wonder if you read it. It said the world has gone from the 1990s to today from 90% extreme poverty, which is less than $2 per person today, to 10% of the world in extreme poverty. Every day, another 250,000 people graduate from extreme poverty, according to the World Bank. Every day. It's about time we started hearing some of this good news, isn't it? About 300,000 people get electricity for the first time every day. Every day, 285,000 people get first access to clean drinking water. We're looking at that in our own communities now, aren't we? And the power of infinite mind expressing in, through, and as us as intelligent beings are taking the necessary steps by first lifting our consciousness to those possibilities beyond what we can figure out on our own. More than 85,000%, no, you can't do that, Maxine. More than 85%, I like those big numbers. 85,000%, it's almost a kajillion. More than 85% can now read in the world. See, girls are going to school in places they weren't allowed to do that before. There's more family planning. There's more than 100 million children's lives saved through vaccinations and improved nutrition and medical care. Many of the diseases that were routinely killing children have been virtually eradicated in the past 30 years. By 2020, it is realistic that there will be no more people deformed by leprosy. Are we ready to hear some of this good news? Yes. We need to seek it out. Isn't that something? All the other stuff is out there. But we need to seek this out. And even the New York Times, if it's in the New York Times, it's got to be true, has found this good news. And you and I are in the process of creating more good news. Our own Maria Avakoli is over in, where is she? That's right. And I don't remember the name of the city she's in right now, but on her post, she was talking about finding your way home. And she said, no, it's not a metaphor. This was quite literal. She has always loved getting lost in cities. London, New York, Paris, probably, I don't know, but San Francisco. And it is a great joy. I can remember my kids, Jerry Ann and Jeff, when I had first moved up to Northern California, they would get in the car and drive all over the Berkeley Hills with a conscious intention to get lost. And they did it really well. And they had all kinds of adventures, and then they would always find their way home. Well, Mari has been doing this for a long time, I suppose. And in her post, she was saying that she was so lost, and not too many people speak English where she's wandering around. And fortunately, it was daylight because they don't have much in the way of streetlights, and even when they do, they don't have enough electricity to have them really working too often. So it was daylight, but she said, finally she realized she saw that she was going past the same things on the same street three times. And then she called her host mother, who speaks fairly good English, but even then didn't get the directions. And I think she finally trusted her inner knower, and she got home. Her finding her way home. I mean, it's the fun of getting a little bit lost. It's the fun of going places we don't really know that well, not only geographically, but in consciousness. Going new places in consciousness we hadn't been before. Imagining that it's possible to connect with people in a loving and an intelligent way and to create relationships beyond anything we ever knew. It's possible. We have to go to a new place in consciousness where we haven't been before. We have no more prejudice. We have no more bias. We have a sense of unity, a sense of the delight in multiplicity in unity. So let's seek out and let's maintain conscious, caring, compassionate, intelligent relationships and keep our conversation in heaven. Do you know how wonderful it is to remind ourselves that what we want to have come out of our mouth is going to be building rather than tearing down, going to be affirming rather than denying? The best teachers in the world are those who can see something within their students that the students can't even yet see themselves, and to bring that out. We can do that. We can do it every day with the people we love and live with, the people that we hang out with in our neighborhoods or at work. We can do this. A complaint-free world is a wonderful idea. It's an intelligent thing to do. It's a loving thing to do. I was reading in the complaint-free world about a couple who were using this method of the bracelets and not complaining. And after a while, because the wife was really getting into it and really doing a good job with it, and one day her husband said, "You know, this is kind of boring. I think I liked you better before." So, you know, we just work with it on our own, however it shows up for us. I think they must have gotten past that. Either that or I'm not sure they're together anymore. Anyway, I don't even know these people. Don't listen to me. We create conscious, caring, compassionate, wonderful co-creative relationships when we listen to what we're about to say and maybe even make another choice. And isn't that wonderful? We always have the ability to choose and to choose again. I choose my thoughts. I choose my speech. I choose my interactions. That's an empowering thing. And, it's just intelligent, you know. And intelligence responds to intelligence. And when you speak to a person from that inner wisdom within you, you're likely going to get that inner wisdom and that conscious, caring, compassionate expression of life coming right back to you. It's delicious. We love it. So will you say with me, I choose my companions wisely.
I choose my companions wisely.
I align with my highest and best ideas.
I align with my highest and best ideas.
I share them. I share them.
I share them.
With conscious, caring, awakened people. I bring a consciousness of goodness to all. I bring a consciousness of goodness to all. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.